Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. The God who created the world and fills it with life be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear, and preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from the first book of Kings. At Horeb, the mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing there, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking life to take away." The Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You shall appoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as the king of over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 of Israel in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray Psalm 85 responsibly. "I will listen to what the Lord is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn your hearts to you. Truly, steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and your land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God a pathway. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
A reading from Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that a person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is to bring Christ down, or 'Who will ascend into the abyss?' that is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one who believes with a heart is so justified, and one confesses with a mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, the same Lord of all and generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on him when they have not believed, in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe one who they have not heard, never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody to proclaim them? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I'm sure you've heard about the man who fell off the cliff, and on his way down the cliff, he grabbed a hold of a tree branch sticking out of the side, and he's holding on for dear life, and he hollers out, "Is there anybody up there? Save me." And he hears a voice. "It's the Lord. I can save you. Trust me." And the man says, "What do I have to do? Help me." And he said, "Just let go." He said, "What? Let go of the only thing that's keeping me from crashing to the foot of this mountain?" And the voice says, "Trust me. Let go." And the man says, "Anybody else up there?" We cry out in faith when we're in times of testing, times of storms. Where's your faith in times like that? You know, some people preach that if you have faith, your life will be smooth sailing. If you have strong enough faith, You won't have any difficulties. You'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise if you just have strong enough faith. Some people preach that gospel. But that's not the gospel that we hear in our scriptures today. Our readings give us another understanding. Here's Elijah on Mount Horeb, ran away to save his life. The false prophets and the leaders of the country of Israel, the people of Israel, were after him. He was hiding out in the cave. And the word of the Lord comes to him and says, "Listen for my voice." Elijah has to trust. He listens for the voice of God. And the things that he hears first are the ordinary, extraordinary presence of God. The wind, earthquake, mighty fire. But that's not the voice of God. The voice of God, as the writer of this text tells us, the voice of God is the sound of sheer silence. And Elijah knows that voice. Elijah knows that's the voice of God, that sound of sheer silence. But God doesn't let him relax in that silence. He has to leave that mountain cave. He needs to go back down the mountain, God says, and face the music, face those thousands of false prophets, face his fears. He had to let go and let God. Our gospel story picks up on last week's adventure. Jesus had wanted a little peace and quiet himself. He had gone across the lake. He'd gone to escape the busyness of his life. His friend, John the Baptist, his cousin, had been beheaded. Jesus just wanted a little peace and quiet. But you know, that didn't happen. The crowds of sufferers and seekers mobbed him throughout the day. He spent his day healing and teaching, being with the people. Toward evening, the crowd is hungry, and Jesus says to his disciples, "Well, give them something to eat." And they look at these thousands of people, knowing that they only have a few loaves and a few little fish. They know that this is hardly enough for their crowd of 12. And Jesus is saying, "Feed everybody." Well, they're flabbergasted. They take their little bit, give it to Jesus. He blesses it, gives it back, and they distribute it. They are in the middle of a miracle. They are participating in a miracle, and they're thinking about this. You know, some of the crowd may not have noticed what was happening. 1,000 people and 10,000 people, and the basket is being passed around. You take out what you want. You don't realize that this basket is being passed among so many people. But the disciples knew what was happening. They knew that their little bit was feeding this large crowd. They even had leftovers. Imagine what they were thinking. What were those disciples thinking about in the middle of that miracle? So Jesus gives them some time to think about it. Tells them to get into the boat and to leave. He'll dismiss the crowd, sends the people away, and finally, now I get some peace and quiet. Now I can go up to the mountain to pray alone. So while Jesus is in peaceful prayer, the disciples are out in the water, being battered by the winds in the middle of a bad storm. Any of you sailors ever been in a bad storm or in a storm on the sea? It's got to be pretty frightening. And I think this is very unfair. I think it's unfair that the disciples ended up in this storm. Here they were doing exactly what Jesus told them. They had gotten in the boat. They had taken off. Jesus is quiet, peaceful in prayer, and they are afraid for their lives on the water in this storm. Does that tell us something about following Jesus? Does that tell us something that sometimes doing exactly what we should be doing, following the Lord the way we think we should be following the Lord, leads us right into the middle of a storm? Doing what God has called us to do isn't a promise that life is going to be smooth sailing. Sometimes it takes us right to the storm. And when the disciples see Jesus come walking on the water, they're afraid. I think that's an understatement. I think terrified. I think amazed. It's a ghost. I'm sure they said more than that. It would be very frightening. And Jesus says to them right away, don't be afraid. Take heart. Which is another way to say, be courageous. Buck up, guys. Don't be so afraid. It's just me. And Peter, our great Peter, he wants proof. If it's really you, make me walk on water too. I see you walking on water. If you're really Jesus, make me walk on water. I think Peter regretted those words the second they were out of his mouth. There we are. It's like that guy saying, let go of the branch. Here I am, stepping out of the boat to walk on the water. I bet Peter wished he could take back his dare. Because there he is, walking on the water. But not for long. Not for long. It reminds me of that Roadrunner cartoon where Wile E. Coyote is chasing the Roadrunner. And he's running and running. He runs right off the cliff. And his little legs keep going. And then all of a sudden he looks. He realizes there's nothing beneath him. And he falls to the ground. That was like Peter. He is walking on the water. And then he realizes there is nothing between him and the waves. Nothing between him and that strong wind. He takes his eyes off Jesus and looks at the storm in his life and sinks. And cries out as he starts to sink, Lord, save me. I think I've been there. I think I've been sinking at times in my life. How about you? Have you ever been in a situation where you weren't in control? Have you ever been in a situation that you felt was beyond your strength, beyond your control? We cry out, Lord, save me. Jesus reaches out, grabs Peter, puts him into the boat. I wish we had a stained glass window that showed us that day in Peter's life. We have the day he was called from his fishing job. We have his denial of Jesus and his affirmation of faith. We have his prison time. I would like a stained glass window of Peter being plucked out of the water by the scruff of the neck. Or maybe the image could just be a pile of soggy clothes dripping or ruined sandals that had been into the water. I think we should have a stained glass window of that day because that was a very important day in Peter's life. I bet he never forgot that day. There would be other days when Peter's faith would flounder, other days when he doubted that he could faithfully follow Jesus. But always he called out, Lord, save me. And always he found the hand of the Lord pulling him out of the drink, setting him on the dry land. That's an image that I like to think of for myself, too. The help and the strength that you and I need is in that hand of the Lord. Our lives are full of storms and adventures and miracles, too. And we need to be reminded of that truth that Peter came to know as he was sinking like a rock. We are completely dependent upon God. When we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, the wisest thing to do is just let go and let God. As a faith community, we have opportunities Sunday after Sunday to let go and let God. Every time we gather around this altar table and reach out our hand to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the bread and wine of Holy Communion, we let go and let God. Every time we gather around the font and pour the water of baptism over someone's head, as we will in a few weeks when we celebrate baptism with Lenny and Rosalie and baptize their little Rowan, we let go and let God as we claim that child as God's child. Every time we celebrate an anniversary or a wedding, like we did yesterday with Jennifer and Kyle, and we remember to that promise to trust God and to trust in love, we let go and let God. Every time the council meets and committees take action, every time we say yes to a new opportunity for service or for ministry, we let go and let God. Every time we gather for a memorial service, as we will do several times this month, remembering Gretchen and Margaret and Lois and Paul, we let go and let God. We have opportunities in our lives. We have opportunities in the life of our church to hesitate, to worry. We have opportunities to focus on our decisions and to be concerned and care about those things and focus on the wind and the waves. But the good news today is that Jesus is inviting us in those situations to turn and focus not on our worries and our cares, not on the wind and the waves, but to focus on Jesus. He is our hope and our salvation. Our hymnal has a prayer we pray together every day during morning prayer or and evening prayer. I'd like you to join me in saying that prayer now, and you can find it on page 304 in the red book. The page numbers are toward the front at the bottom of the page. Page 304, and it's at the bottom of that page. We're still getting used to these new hymnals, aren't we? Let's pray together. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.